Off the Groove with Scotty Dubler.
It's Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Episode 264 is here. Thank you to Haley for that awesome introduction. Can you believe it's already May? How did that happen? Tomorrow is Star Wars Day for you guys that like Star Wars. May the 4th. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, it's just May the 4th. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, it's a holiday for some people. It's an excuse to go drink beer for some people. Anyway, hope everybody has a great weekend. Woke up yesterday to text from American Flat Track, you know, my producer, other people down there in Florida. And then it was followed immediately by the change in the race date for Chico. Due to the forecast, they've pushed it back 2 weeks. The new date is now May 18th. The main concern was actually the pit area, so I think the track could probably handle some moisture. You can't race in the rain, obviously, but the pit area was going to be in the infield of the racetrack. That's the lowest part of the facility. I've never been there. I'm just going by what I've been told. So instead of having everybody get stuck in the mud and maybe not even get a race in, they went ahead and pushed it back for 2 weeks. So I think it's a good move. I just, you know, watching the forecast, the lowest I've seen for rain for Saturday is like 75%. Last time I looked, it was at 85%. So it's best to pull the plug. I guess it doesn't rain out there very often. So when it does, they know it's coming. So let's be proactive. And I honestly don't remember the last time AFT did this, but I think it's a good move to save everybody from driving up there, sitting out there in, you know, 2 or 3 days and then, you know, for nothing. So good move by AFT. Lodi, though, is still happening tonight, the night before Chico, the night before the big one. They call it, they used to be the night before Sacramento. They're racing tonight. A $10,000 purse is still up for grabs. I'm not going to be there. I'm still in Oklahoma City, unfortunately. So hope everybody does well that's out there. I know a lot of the race teams were already out there on the West Coast. So let's do it. And they also couldn't push it back 2 weeks because May the 17th through the 19th, they have the AMA Triple Crown, West Coast Triple Crown race. It's amateur races. I think there's about 10 or 11 amateur classes and then one or two money classes, you know, paying back some money to some riders. So it's 3 days of racing at the Lodi Cycle Bowl on three different tracks, two different Lodi short tracks and one Lodi TT. That is May the 17th through the 19th. So if you're out there on the West Coast, hit up Lodi tonight. It is still happening the night before the big one. Let's talk about Texas last weekend. Weather was in the area. It was looking bad all the way down there. You know, it's only 3 hours for me to drive down there. It was in the area. It actually rained on Friday down there. It was part of the Good Guys car show. I talked to a lot of those folks, and they were happy that most of those cars were actually inside the NASCAR garages. But anyways, it was just a crazy day. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like that track. I raced there before. I fell off there before because of the inconsistency of the dirt. I fell off coming off of turn number four, you know, where the transition from turn four to the front straightaway is, and the back end just stepped out and came around onto me immediately and put me down. And I honestly don't think the track's gotten any better. You know, I think when I raced there, it was probably, what, 20, 25 years ago, something like that. It was for Formula USA. It's been that long ago. You know, I retired racing in 2002 pretty much. But the dirt, it's inconsistent. I don't know how else to put it. You know, they said they had new dirt out there. I think they may have added some stuff to it. But whatever they did, didn't gel. I mean, it didn't. I don't know. It's just almost like they need to take all that dirt out of there and start completely fresh with new dirt. So it's just hard to do. I know it looks good. It's a beautiful facility. It's close to home, you know, so it should be one of my favorite tracks, and it just isn't. I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of the riders don't like it. A lot of them didn't want to go out early. We started late. They continued to work on the racetrack. They had actually added water, packed it back in. They used that Harley rake on the front of the Bobcat and, you know, dug it up, packed it back in. They were trying everything they could. I just don't think the dirt gels for two wheels. It might be okay for, you know, late models or sprint cars. But it just, you know, for two wheels, when you have just a little bitty tire patch, you know, the Dunlop tires, when you lay them over, you got like an inch, you know, an inch wide on the front and the rear, maybe 2 inches wide, touching the surface. And you know, when it goes from dry to wet or wet to dry or hard packed to loose, you know, it just causes issues. You know, I guess the best thing that came out of Texas was Chase Sadoff getting his first win. Maybe the only good thing that came out of Texas, you know, was Sadoff getting his first win. Robinson showed up tough. He wasn't a factor until the very end, but let's get to the results of Texas. So let's start with the Build Train Race program. That's the Royal Enfield class, the ladies that build their bikes. In the practice and qualifying, it was the two normal suspects for the season so far. Kenzie Lucker was fastest in practice, and then Taya Little was fastest in that first round of qualifying, a 2:03.902. So that's a pretty quick time. In the heat race, it was the 11, Taya Little getting the win. Kenzie Lucker did jump the start. She had to start the back of the pack, but Kenzie had the fastest lap of the heat race with a 2:03.986. But the heat race results, it was Taya Little, Kenzie Lucker, Shasta LaRue, the two of Michaela Nichols, and the 28, that's Maya Maffei. That was your top five in the heat race. In the main event, man, it was a good one until it wasn't. The track changed. You know, it did rain a little bit. They stopped the race. It would rain a little bit. It was all crazy. And then we got the Royal Enfields going. You know, in my opinion, we should have pushed those to the tail of the program. But, you know, sometimes the race before needs a break before they come out before their main event. Anyway, so the Royal Enfield was the first main event. And we had a red flag because Taya Little went down hard in turn number two. They were running a little bit higher up the racetrack, and Taya dropped to the bottom of the racetrack coming off of turn number two, lost the front end. I don't know if there was marbles or if it was, you know, a different surface than what they'd been used to, but she lost the front end, went back, it swapped, it went back, and it high-sided her, and she went pretty much, you know, head first into the ground and flipped a few different times. So the red flag came out. They did transport her to the hospital. I heard she was already, you know, released and headed back to Canada. So a tough break for Taya Little. She's from Welland, Ontario, Canada. She went down, and then they end up calling it a race. And I think that was a good move because the track was, you know, a little sketchy for those heavy motorcycles. Some of these ladies don't have a lot of experience. And anyway, Kenzie Lucker was credited with the win. Shasta LaRue was second. Maya Maffei was third. Michaela Nichols was fourth. And Hannah Lang from Campbellsport, Wisconsin, was fifth. And then what they decided to do was shift gears, and they ran the Mission Super Twins up next. So we'll start with earlier in the day. Dallas Daniels was fastest in both rounds of practice, and then Jared Meese, Mr. Texas Flat Track, finds his way up to the head of the class in both rounds of qualifying. Fastest lap was a 2:03.934 for Meese. Heat race number one, it was Meese, followed by Robinson, Vandecoy. Johnny Lewis looked pretty strong all day. Trevor Bruner with the top five. And Declan Bender gets that final transfer spot out of heat race number one. Heat race number two, Dallas Daniels takes the win. Breyer was second. Davis Fisher, third. Max Whale, fourth. Colby Carlisle, fifth. And Ben Lau was sixth. Ben was one of the riders that went down in practice. Appears to be okay. The last chance qualifier for the Super Twins, it was Morgan Mishler. And what a ride by him. Dad Bromley actually had the lead. Turn number four, he got really sideways and Mishler just left the throttle on, went right around the outside, and when he did that, Brandon Price also made the pass. So it was Mishler taking the win on the Honda. Price was second, Bromley third, Cameron Smith fourth, Bronson Bauman fifth, and then Kevin Stallings was your final transfer. The Mission, Too Fast, Too Tasty Challenge race, it was Jared Meese. You put a $5,000 carrot out there, Meese is going to find his way to the front. He took the win. Daniels was second. Robinson third. Breyer was fourth. And Breyer, this is where Breyer first started trying the higher line. Some of these riders are not racing on the groove and are looking for a faster way around. I think the Dunlop tires aren't really hooking up with the rubber that's going down on some of these racetracks. So sometimes the faster way is just a little bit higher than where they've normally been running. So I give Breyer credit for going to look for that spot. It just didn't work out for him, but he would be, he would try that again in the main event. In the main event, Dallas Daniels grabbed the hole shot on the 32, led the first two laps, then Meese comes on by, he leads two laps, and then Dallas goes back to the front, he leads lap five and lap number six, and then Brandon Robinson. Robinson found something in the main event. He was there all day, but when it mattered, Robinson got to the front, and he led from lap number seven until the last lap was lap 25. Again, it was a shortened race because of, you know, Mother Nature was in the area, so they didn't go the full time. They went 8 minutes plus two laps instead of 10 minutes plus two laps. It's still 25 laps. So to me, nobody was shortened anything by that, you know, but, you know, instead of 10 minutes, it was 8 minutes. So Robinson leads the final 19 laps. Dallas led 4 laps. Meese led 2 laps. The fastest lap of the race, no surprise, Jared Meese, 20.990. But Robinson put in the consistent laps. I think Meese had something for him right there at the end. And the back end stepped out, got a little sideways in turn number 1 and 2. And Meese, you know, really complimented Robinson, how Robinson didn't make a mistake. He didn't fold any of the pressure. You know, the one bike was right there the entire race. But Robinson picking up his 15th career win on the Mission Roof Systems Indian. Meese was second. Dallas Daniels was third. I think I was told from people in the pit area that Dallas just wanted a third place finish, you know, just wanted a podium, get out of there safely, and let's move on to the rest of the season. Davis Fisher, a good solid run. He was fourth. Briar Bauman was fifth. Vandekoy sixth. Max Whale with his career best finish, he was seventh. Brandon Price was eighth. And Johnny Lewis on that Royal Enfield was Brandon Price was eighth. Johnny Lewis was ninth. And Declan Bender with a career best finish in the Super Twins class, he gets all the way up to 10th. Let's talk about the AFT singles. They'd be end up being the last race of the night, but we'll start early in the day. Man, how about practice and qualifying? Sadoff was fastest in the first round of practice. Tom Drain was fastest in the second round of practice. Trent Lowe was fastest in the first round of qualifying. And then Tom Drain laid down a heater in that second round of qualifying. So with a 2.212. I'm just giving you time so it keeps it relevant. Meese's fastest was a 2.09. Tom Drain was a 2.12. So it was a little bit slower for the 450s this time down in Texas. In the heat race, Sadoff would go to win heat race number one. The one of Cody Kopp was second. Drain was third. Hunter Bauer is fourth. Taryn Santero is fifth. And Jared Lowe gets the final transfer spot on the 63. Heat race number two, it's the rookie, Evan Renshaw. He was flying all day long. He would take the win over Trent Lowe. And the 26 was up there. Aiden Roos-Evans was third. Braden Fanders, the rookie, was fourth. The 66, Logan Eisenhardt, was fifth. And the 115, Justin Anselmi, makes his first main event. Out of the last chance qualifier, you got Dalton Gauthier taking the win. You have Chad Coase on the layman Harley-Davidson. Didn't ride for the Waters Autobody team down there. Would take second. Shayna Texter actually looked like she was actually moving pretty good in the last chance qualifier. Had some momentum. It looked like the Shayna Texter Bauman of old. James Ott would be fourth. Petten was fifth. And the 55 of Raggio getting that final transfer spot. So, you know, a pretty stacked field back there in that last chance qualifier. In the Al Lamb Dallas Honda Challenge race, it was a Honda taking the win with Chase Sadoff. Kopp was second. Renshaw was third. Trent Lowe was fourth. And then the main event came. And that's where it gets a little bit crazy. So the last race of the night was going to be, and it was, the Parts Limited AFT Singles presented by Kicker Class. There are several red flags. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 red flags during the entire race, just looking at the official results from Progressive American Flat Track. It was scheduled to go 6 minutes plus 2 laps, end up going 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And Chase Sadoff leads all 12 laps. And that's hard to do. You know, you get a lead. He was way out in front when that first red flag came out for Braden Fanders. The 288 went down in turn number two. Didn't see him go down, but he was running seventh when that happened. But then you have to think about getting a restart. You know, you have to nail that start. You have to time the light just right. You have to be in a good starting position. You know, when they have the hash marks laid down, it's at a spot where nobody's started from before most of the time. Every once in a while, that line, when they stagger your restart, will be on a starting spot that's already been used. But Chase Sadoff did everything he needed to do. So he goes out there and leads every lap. They end up going 12 laps, and they ran for 4 minutes and 20 seconds. The last, you know, one of the red flags was for rain. One was for a crash. I think there was another rain stop. And then the final red flag of the night, which ended up ending the race, was two riders going down on the back straightaway, actually going into turn number three. And we didn't see it because there was a three-way battle for the top spot with Sadoff, Kopp, and Tom Drain. But right behind them, it was Renshaw and Roos-Evans, and the two bikes get together. And my dad was standing back there in the pit area in turn number three, and Ronnie Jones, another friend of mine, that I talked to him about all this on Monday night. But they both said you could hear the bikes hitting each other, the metal on metal, over the roars of the motorcycles. So, of course, that's a spot where you're letting off the throttle to go into the corner, and maybe, you know, maybe that was part of it, but when you hear bikes clashing that hard, and we saw the front end snap off of the 265 Evan Renshaw, I was told it snapped off up there by the triple clamps. I was also told that, you know, maybe broke where the fork tubes broke, but I've never seen fork tubes break in half like that. So I'm assuming it was at the triple clamps. But those two riders went down really hard, and you know, hopefully they'll both be okay. Bruce Evans had reached out to back on track for some little bit of help, so I know he had to have a little bit of help down there at the hospital. So, you know, I'm just hoping that all these riders are okay. But in the main event, it was Chase Sadoff taking the win. Cody Kopp started off the main event about seventh, and I bet Joe Kopp told him to just go out there and let's just ride smart. Let's not force the issue. Well, as the main event went on and the red flags went on, then we go back racing. He just steadily picked his way all the way up to the top spot. He only ends up losing by 0.089 seconds. Well, we didn't know that was going to be the finish because that was a red flag. But Kopp was there. He was coming. But comes up just a little bit short. Tom Drain would be third. Trent Lowe is fourth. And then Jared Lowe, Trent's little brother, gets a career best finish with a fifth. So congrats to him. That was his best career finish. So, you know, congrats to Jared. He's now riding for the Big R Little Debbie Racing Honda. And, you know, he's got help from Vincent Construction too. But Jared's getting more consistent. He's lost a lot of weight. And it's showing. His performance is definitely showing this year. He got up to fifth. Logan Eisenhardt would finish sixth. James Ott, who came from the Last Chance Qualifier, gets all up to seventh, and he brings Travis Pettin with him. Both those two came from the Last Chance Qualifier, so they passed a lot of people. Santero was ninth, and Hunter Bauer was 10th. But some best finishes. You know, obviously, the best finish for Chase Sadoff, that was his first career win. Jared Lowe, fifth. I just mentioned that. Travis Pettin, who gets up to eighth, that ties his best finish of his career. Justin Anselmi gets a 12th in his first main event. And Olin Kistler, who made his first main last year, gets a career best finish of 13th. And that's just in the singles class. The twins, I mentioned this a moment ago, but Max Whell gets a 7th. That's his career best finish, and that's on the Harley-Davidson in the Super Twins class. And Declan Bender gets his first career top 10, also in the Super Twins class. Taking a look at the point standings in the Super Twins, it's now B-Rob, Brandon Robinson, the Revolver, up there leading the points. He's got a 4-point lead with 2 wins and 2 third-place finishes. Dallas Daniels sitting in second. He's got a win, a third, a second, and a third. He's in second in the points. Meese is now still... Meese is sitting there third with a 6th, a 5th, a 1st, and a 2nd. Then you got Breyer, you know, consistently running right there top 5. He started off with an 8th on a brand new bike, a 4th, a 4th, and a 5th. And Davis Fisher, who's Mr. Consistency, a 4th, a 6th, an 8th, and a 4th. So Fisher up there in the top 5. In the singles class, Cody Kopp still has a 17-point lead. He had a 17-point lead going in. He's got a 17-point lead leaving Texas. Chase Sadoff is second, a 4th, a 4th, a 3rd, and a win. Tom Drain back there in 3rd. Drain with 69 points has a 15th. Came back with a win, a 2nd, and a 3rd. So 3 podiums and a 15th. Trent Lowe is 4th, a 3rd, a 10th, an 8th, and a 4th. And Dalton, I guess, you know, lost the most positions. He was up there 2nd in the points. I heard that his tailpipe or his muffler came off down the back straightaway in that main event. So he is credited with last place in the singles main. That's 19th because there's one provisional. So probably just 1 point for Dalton out of Texas, and that's not good for him. But he moves from 2nd in the points all the way down to 5th. So I'm not going to get all the way into all the injuries, but I do know that Cam Smith went down in the main event. Didn't see it. He got himself up and got going. Got some road rash on his left arm, and I heard he twisted his knee again, his left knee. Bruce Evans and Renshaw went down together. I heard they're both beat up. I heard Renshaw is good to go. I heard Bruce Evans might miss a few races. Braden Fanders was one of the riders that went down. He went down in turn number 2. He had a broken T7 disc in his back. He had back surgery down there in Texas. Also is going to have surgery on his wrist, I think, when he gets home back to Pennsylvania. And then Taya Little in the Royal Enfield Bill Train race. So that's just some of the riders that went down and possible injuries on those riders. A few other riders went down. I haven't heard of anything bad or good from anybody else. So it's just a rough night in Texas, and I'm glad we are out of there. Up next for AFT is Ventura, May the 11th. And I do have some results from 2 weeks ago. Actually, there was a race in RPM since I didn't do a podcast last week. RPM had a race in Lebanon, Ohio. It's one of the most beautiful half miles in the country. It's the same width all the way around. It is pea gravel. It's at a county fairgrounds. There's a couple classes I'm not going to talk about. The results, Heavyweight Vintage, Hooligans, Mad Dogs, and the 60 plus class. They all had very few riders in there. The Pro Outlaw Open Singles, it was Trevor Bruner taking a win. Trent Lowe was second. Jeremiah Duffy was third. Trevor Martin was fourth. And Cody Mishy, one of the amateur riders that gets to run with the pros, he gets up to fifth. 85cc class, Jaden Nickens taking the win. Beckham Daniels, that's Dallas Daniels' little brother, was second. And Deegan Lickfelt, he was third. In the 30-plus class, nine riders making the start. Sam Lowe, which is Trent and Jared's dad, he would take the win. Andrew Butler, which is Cody Kopp's mechanic, would be second. And Cody Bash, that's what I have wrote down for third in that 30-plus class. Not familiar with that rider. In the 250 amateur class, six riders would make the main event. Cody Mishy would take the win. Carson Wilson was second. Hunter Messer was third. In the 50-plus class, seven riders would finish. The 50-plus class, it was Doug Davis, number 17, taking the win. Danny Kelch was second, and Tony Moore was third. Looked like the biggest class of the day was the 450 amateur class, and Cody Mishy from Ohio taking the win. Loak Nadeau and Matteo Racine, those two from Canada, were second and third. Kayla Martin was fourth, and Sam Lowe would be fifth. Open amateur class, Luke Wilhelm from Michigan would be the winner. Trevor Martin was second. Cody Mishy was third. Loak Nadeau fourth, and Matteo Racine fourth and fifth, respectively. And the open Pro Outlaw Twin / singles class. Pro Outlaw Open is the name of the class. You can run your singles or your twins. Trevor Bruner taking the win. Trent Lowe was second. Jeremiah Duffy was third. Day Pouliot was fourth from Canada. And Justin Jones was fifth. That was at Lebanon, Ohio. Well, let's talk about some upcoming races. We mentioned just a few moments ago, but tonight the Lodi Cycle Bowl is still running the night before the big one. $10,000 purse. If you're out there, go check that out. Tomorrow, RPM up in Hastings, Michigan. Next weekend, AFT returns. We'll go to Ventura for the second time. That's on May the 11th. The night before is the Angels of Dirt screening at Iron and Resin. It is a place to go watch the film out there in Ventura next Friday night. Also next weekend on 5/11 RPMs in Midland, Michigan. Coming up a little bit further on down the road, June the 1st, Battle at the Border. That's Doug Lawrence's race, Dougie Fresh. And then I was just confirmed this week that I will be in Wauseon, Ohio for the 17th annual Wauseon Half Mile. That is going on July the 19th. The showdown this year is going to be George versus Jess Roeder on some vintage equipment. So I'm happy to be included in that weekend. Happy to be going to Wauseon. I've been by that racetrack a bunch of times. I just never got to go during the race, so I'm excited about that one. My stat of the week, since we got two more short tracks left on the season, the next two races for American Flat Track, the all-time short track winner. Who do you think it is? My instinct wasn't the first rider I'm going to mention. It was the second rider. Chris Carr is actually tied with Henry Wiles. Both riders have 9 career short track wins. I was thinking about Henry Wiles because of the Springfield short track. Man, Wiles was an animal on the 450s there for a while, you know, was winning just about every 450 race there was or singles race there was. So Chris Carr, I didn't think he quite had that many short track wins, but Carr and Wiles are tied with 9 all time. Who's sitting in third? Somebody that still goes to the races, Jake Johnson, Jake Johnson 5, JJ 5, has 8 short track wins all time. And now sitting in fourth, looking to move up, it's the jammer, Jared Meese. He has 7. So if Meese can win the next 2 rounds, he'll move all the way up to the tie for the winningest short track rider of all time. There are 2 short tracks left in the 2024 Progressive American Flat Track season, and they're the next 2 races. Meese looking to move up that leaderboard on the short track all-time win list. That was my stat of the week. I'll say special thanks to all of my patrons for supporting the podcast. I'm going to have to dip into my Patreon fund and get a new computer. So I've been going back and forth with Riverside. That's what I've been using to do my interviews, and they said my computer is too old. That's why I keep losing my audio. Well, I hope that's true, and I hope a new computer will be the answer. So I'm still working on that. So thanks to my patrons for supporting the podcast. Thanks to all my listeners. Thanks to Jim and Pat for all the paperwork that they keep sending me. Thanks to Tim at Pro Plates, Access Media, and TDFJ, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers. He made some pendants that are for sale. They've got the Off the Groove helmet logo, and they've got I've got them in gold or silver. Haven't really focused on trying to sell any of those just yet. I know I've sold a few of them, but thanks to Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, TDFJ.com, the official jeweler of Off the Groove. Well, that's all I got this week. Hopefully, everything goes good in Lodi, and I'll be headed up to California next week, so I'll have some results from the racing action this weekend. But that's all I got right now. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy May the 4th tomorrow. May the 4th be with you for you Star Wars fans, and Cinco de Mayo is on Sunday. And that's all I got. We'll talk to you guys soon right here on Off the Groove.